Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop. Bork, Kyle Quinn is behind the glass. A lot to get to today. We'll talk a little bit about the quarterback. We haven't done that around here. Schedule leaks are coming out, and we know the Eagles will be playing on Thanksgiving. Hugh will have to answer to the brand new Hold the Line rumor out there and the Phil Storta series up in Boston tonight. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hi, everybody. What's up, Kyle? Just want to say to everybody, especially the fellas, It's okay to go out there and get pedicures and manicures, man. Not manicures, but the pedicures. Get your feet done.
So pedicures are okay, but manicures aren't?
No, I'm saying I'm not a fan of manicures. Yeah. I mean, if you choose to do that, okay, go for it. But I mean, definitely
just try to understand
feet,
the difference.
Get your feet done. Get your feet done, man.
So get your feet done.
Yeah, get your, because it's like the crusty feet. You know, like when you especially if you have a significant other, you don't want to cut them with your rusty feet or whatever.
Rusty.
Yeah, crusty, rusty, whatever you want to say, with that rough skin or whatever.
Disgusting.
Yeah, I'm just saying, just get your feet done.
Okay, thanks. That's the message today. Yeah, get your feet done. All right. That's Hugh's message today. Mine
not
is,
like I ain't got nothing to do with me, and then I'm just saying.
In general. Are you saying this because it's almost like flip-flop season?
Yeah, it's almost flip-flop season.
I got you. All right. Well, there's a good message from Hugh to start the show today. I have another one. You want to hear my message?
What you got?
The Sixers should fire Daryl Morey. He should be out of here. We're starting
right out the gate.
Right
huh?
out the gate. All right. So,
right out the gate.
I mean, that's where I'm at this morning.
Zoom.
There's a lot on my mind, Hugh. 215-592-9494. That's how you join us. I think the Sixers should fire Daryl Morey. And I'm at the point now where, Hugh, I expect them to fire Daryl Morey. And anything less, I'm going to be disappointed. So we know the season ended poorly, obviously, with the sweep. And we unpacked a lot of Embiid stuff yesterday. We'll do more of that today and the roster. But the person responsible for this, you know, yes, it starts with ownership, and the ownership stinks here. We can't fire the owner, right? The thing about yelling about owners with our teams is we can't do much about it, and there's not actionable change if we scream, right? They own the team, so they don't want to. So the next step is the person in charge of the roster. And Hugh, the more I think about where the Sixers are at right now, Daryl Morey is the biggest fault of this. I mean, you go to the small picture, which is last night. Once again, Jeremy Cain goes off as the Thunder sweep the Lakers out. And then you go to the next part, which is what's here. And while he's done some good when it comes to the draft in some of these years, right? Obviously, his first pick here was Tyrese Maxey. He gives a lot of credit to Elton Brand because he had just gotten here. Okay. Great pick of Jerry McCain a couple years ago, but then he trades him away. And I think a really smart pick of VJ Edgecombe this year. So that the drafting has been pretty good. But the issue has been the contracts they've given out, the trades they've made, and how they just haven't built a team capable of winning an NBA championship. And the bottom line is this. The George contract's a disaster. The Embiid contract, which kicks in now, is a disaster. I think he's got to go. I think he should go. And I expect the Sixers to move on. Hugh, your thoughts on Morey, and do you expect the Sixers to actually kick this guy out of here?
Boy, that's a lot to unpack. Something has to change. There's no question about that. And it feels like that's probably the easiest route to go, is to get Daryl Morey out of here. Because, like I said yesterday, I think Joel Embiid is going to be here. He's going to be a part of this franchise for at least three more years.
Ooh, yeah, three.
He's going to be a part of this at least another year.
Okay, I can live with that at least.
He's going to be a part of it for at least another year, man. So, yeah, there's – you have the fish stinks from the head. So you got to change some stuff up top. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think he should be gone because that's probably the best move that you can make in this situation.
Well, and then you think about what's been coming out. I mean, look, I think Morey has been, for a long time now, one of the more overrated executives in the sport. He's basketball's Billy Bean, right? He came up with some ideas. Everyone took his ideas, did it better, and they actually win. And he's just a guy. And I just think the league has passed him by. Teams that win championships in the NBA today have either amazing depth, or they have a top 5 to 7 player that leads the way. And sometimes it's both. It's like a SGA and a lot of depth. We don't have either of those things. We don't have, right now, a top 5 to 7 player in the league. Maxey is very good and an all-star. Not quite that level. Joel used to be that level. Obviously not anymore. And we have no depth. The guy, you know, it's not like he's been here a day or two. This has been a long, we're talking about a half a decade he's been here now. Even more. I mean, 6 years he's been here running the Sixers. You know, Hugh, when he first came in, I think there was a grace period where, like, all right, the guy before you made a lot of mistakes. You got to clean it up, right? And he had to trade Al Horford away and get off a bad contract. But Hugh, if you're in a job for 6 years as an executive and it doesn't look any closer to a championship, I can't say you've done a good job.
You know what the unfortunate thing about this is? There was a weak run or whatever, where it felt like he pushed all the right buttons. You know, he did bring in VJ Edgecombe, got Maxey and a couple other guys, but it just hasn't been – he just hasn't pushed you over the top. For all the good that he's done, you look at and Jerry McCain was one of those guys he drafted too, but he traded away.
Not great.
But when you look at what he's done as far as his basketball team is concerned, he's had some good things that he's done. But I think the miscues come from, you know, when you're telling your fan base, if you could just squint just a little bit, you know, if you squint your eyes just a little bit, we'll make the playoffs, and then saying stuff like, you know, we sold high on McCain and stuff like that. It tends to rub people the wrong way. And then immediately after your exit, getting swept. And again, I'm not holding this against him, but it's just kind of weird. You're at the combine the day after or the day that people want to talk to you about the state of the organization. Mm-hmm. You know where to be found. That's a little weird.
Well, and I actually think in a weird way the team is going backwards in the last few years. Like, you would think the longer he's here, the more it would progress the right way. I don't think it's actually going the right way. The first few years he was here, they lost second round, which has been their ceiling. Then they lost in the first round of the Knicks. Then they missed the playoffs altogether. And then this year, yes, they have the great first round, 7-game series victory over the Celtics, but they get swept in the second round. I mean, it's like they've gotten further from the Eastern Conference Finals in the last few years than closer to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm done with it. I'm done with Morey. I'm tired of watching McCain drop 20 points or 18 points or plus 27 last night in 16 minutes for the Thunder. The Sixers need a change. They absolutely need a change. Hugh, you said it stinks from the top down. I can't change the owner as much as I would like to. It's very hard to imagine anyone taking Embiid, so I can't change the top player. What I can do is change the person in charge of the roster, and I think it's time to do it. 215-592-9494. I want Morey out of here, and I'm at the point where I'm expecting Josh Harris to do something, and if he doesn't, I'm going to be frustrated. Or can we hear Jay Williams? Jay Williams on ESPN yesterday talking about the Sixers and where all this starts.
When are we going to talk about the front office?
That's it.
And just let me – I'm not going to come up on TV and say somebody should be gone or not. But if you look at the last 3 years, so 23-24, they let go of James Harden. The next year, they run it back. They don't get another superstar. Joel Embiid averages 34.7 points per game. They end up a 7th seed, first-round exit. The next year, they sign Paul George, $200 million. Then they get Jared McCain. Jared McCain's playing well.
He's hooping.
They're playing
so
well.
High.
Still first-round exit, right? The next year, they don't send – no, I'm sorry. On the back end of that, they actually tank. Yep. They tank to get the right draft pick.
Yeah.
Then they get VJ Edgecombe. They get VJ Edgecombe. Now they're playing well. You get to the trade deadline. Do you get somebody else? Do you lean all in when Indy's not there, when Giannis is not playing well, when Jason Tatum's hurt, when the East feels like it's open? No. You trade Jared McCain.
Woo.
And for draft picks. By the way,
Sell
Jared
high,
McCain
Jay.
Is shooting 81% from the three-point line right now versus the Lakers. Ooh. Do you want me to keep going on? Isaiah Joe was on this damn team. Isaiah Joe is coming off the bench for OKC. Do you want me to keep going on? Shin Penny was on this damn team. Shin Penny is one of the best three-point shooters for the Spurs.
Get him,
that's
Jay.
All your depth.
Right.
All your depth. And now you're sitting here in purgatory with Joel Embiid? I'm just going to lay out the facts. You guys make the decision.
Get him, Jay.
You know, Hugh, yesterday you were saying that, you know, probably the most realistic way to make this better is if they kind of limit how much Joel has to do, play, and they have a better bench, right?
Yeah.
And he was, Jay Williams was talking more about guard play, but the idea is the same, right? Put more around him, take the pressure off of him. Right, make him play, all that kind of stuff. The crazy part is they had some of these players here, and they gave them away.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you had the pieces, but you didn't know what to do with them, so you got rid of the pieces. And now, you like to me, the other day, what stood out a lot was the bench depth that the Knicks had and we didn't have.
Yeah.
And, you know, the shooters that they had like six guys. They had like within double digits at one point.
Well, and Anunoby didn't play, and then McBride came in and dropped a bunch of threes.
Yeah, yeah. So they were pretty proficient in shooting the three. And that's what you have to have. I think a lot of times that this team is Joel Embiid-centric, and you have to kind of move away from that. You have to kind of move away from that and try to get some other guys in here that are going to take a lot of pressure off him. He's going to be here. And just use him sparingly as possible, because The unfortunate thing about Joel Embiid is this. He's a Hall of Fame player, but he's almost at the end, and you have to play him sparingly if you want him to be functional and successful in the playoffs. You got to play him sparingly.
Yeah, to me, the Morey thing has been a dud. It's trending now towards a disaster, and I don't want him to make it any worse. I mean, he's made things worse since he got here. The day he arrived, he was supposed to take the Sixers from can't get over the hump to over the hump. He has not done it. It has been a mess here. Could we hear Joel Embiid? Now, this is interesting because last night, McCain had another good night, and the Sixers weren't deep enough. Could we hear Joel Embiid back before the trade deadline talking about what he hoped the Sixers weren't going to do?
Obviously, we've been ducking the attacks the last couple of years, so hopefully we'll keep the swing team. I love all the guys that are in here, so I think we got a shot. So hopefully, I don't know what they're going to do, but I hope at least we get a chance to, you know, just go out and compete because we got a lot of, you know, good group of guys in this locker room, man. Vibes are great. So yeah, like I said in the past, yeah, we've been against that today. The time, so hopefully we think about improving because that's really where I was.
Well, he hoped they would not duck the tax. That's exactly what they did by trading away Jared McCain, which led to this. Of course, they get knocked out on Sunday, and then after the game on Sunday, a good question asked to Tyrese Maxey, and if you saw this when it happened, Edgecombe is sitting next to him, and it's one of the funniest press conference moments in a while, because
the hanging of the head.
Edgecombe like basically hid in his shirt because he didn't want to have to answer the question. He didn't want to have to be part of this, but he was there. So Maxey, of course, has to answer the question. Listen to this about what they did at the trade deadline and Maxey's take on where they are now.
At the deadline, you did not upgrade the roster at all. What message does that send down the roster to everybody involved?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a more so just, you know, listen, it happens. We are the players, and we go out there and we're going to play at the end of the day no matter what. You know what I'm saying? Our team was obviously, I guess, good enough to get to the second round. Definitely maybe, who knows, injuries or whatever the case may be, it could have been better.
So that goes along with this. Tony Jones of The Athletic, who was a guest yesterday on the afternoon show, he wrote about the Sixers the end of the season. He wrote, Embiid, along with others in the locker room, were not happy with the decision to trade second-year guard Jared McCain to the Oklahoma City Thunder, particularly without bringing in a player to replace McCain. In interviews over the next few games, Embiid noticeably had to hold himself back from verbally criticizing the front office.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of wonder why they did what they did. I have my reasons. I have my reckless speculation, I should say, but I keep that to myself. But yeah, it really didn't make no sense.
Why did you decide to keep it yourself?
Because it's salacious. It's a little salacious.
All the better.
Yeah, it's probably the worst.
Okay. Over the salacious line?
Yes, okay. It's way over the line.
All right, let's try to stay away from the line, but have this conversation. I want more of the hell out of here. Fire him today. 215-592-9494. Should the Sixers fire Daryl Morey? And do you expect it? I think a lot of people will think they should. Do you expect it as a different story? I am starting to believe they're going to do it.
He feels Teflon, though, to me.
And he shouldn't be.
I mean, he shouldn't be, but he does feel Teflon.
I mean, what's the biggest memory, like, great thing he's done here?
Telling us that Buddy Hield put the fear of God in.
He did say that.
Boy, we will have quite a montage of his cuts.
We need a montage.
If he does get fired. Kyle, where are you at on the Morey thing?
So, I would fire him if I were Josh Harris. I don't think I expect him to be fired. I mean, it sounds to me, or at least it seems to me, that whatever that Jared McCain trade was either for Josh Harris or with Josh Harris's blessing. So that, to me, isn't, like, why would Josh Harris fire him over that when it seems like they were in cahoots over
it? Let me paint a picture. Now, you guys are probably right on that. Yeah. I agree with where this probably came from. But what if Daryl said to Josh, don't worry, he's not that good.
And then
Josh Harris, like me last night, turned on the TV and he's dropping threes all over the place.
Lighten it up.
Daryl, what did you lied.
That would change things, sure. But I also think that Harris and the Sixers, Morey, probably convinced themselves that they overachieved this season.
Well, that's a loser mentality.
But that's the Sixers mentality.
That's
what they do.
No, it's true.
I mean, think about it. Like, every time they get bounced from a playoff series, they They tell us how great everything is all the time. So I don't know if they think that this is as dire as we do. Like, beating Boston, I think, for them, you know, in the moment, for me, it felt like the apex of the process. Yeah. Now it's been ruined by the Celtics series.
They did ruin it.
So ruined by the Celtics series. I don't even care about beating Boston anymore. Yeah. But if I'm to put myself in their brains, I think they're satisfied with that. I think they felt accomplished, given what they had to deal with this season. The Embiid stuff, Paul George getting suspended. I think that in their heads, they've had somewhat of a successful season.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting way to look at it. 215-592-9494. I mean, it does kind of, if they feel that way, it speaks to their issues. I mean,
yes.
And look, I understand, like, if you take it from the moment they were down 3-1 and they came back against Boston, sure, that's a success. But big picture, we are a lot of years into the Morey tenure. We're a lot of years into the Embiid tenure. We are the middle of a Paul George contract that is a disaster. And if getting only to the second round is a success, I mean, then they've got it all defined wrong. 215-592-9494. All right, where do you come down? Daryl Morey, who booked out of town on Sunday after the series ended. We haven't heard from him yet. Should he be fired? Do you expect him to be fired? I think it's time. The Sixers need someone to come in here with a fresh set of eyes on this, because the Morey thing, it's just not working. Let's go to Frank and Galloway up on WIP. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, Frank.
What's up, Frank?
Listen, I know Morey is not a really good GM. I know, I get it. First of all, wasn't McCain in the doghouse because of the head coach?
That was part of it. Yeah, he wouldn't play him. I mean,
he didn't play a lot. Okay, he was in the G League for a little while. Yeah.
So Nurse started it, right?
In effect, sure. Yeah.
Sure, did. Nurse started it, right?
Well, I'll say before you go on, I'll say the injury set him back, and then Nurse didn't want to give him a chance to get back in the rotation. Yeah,
right. But it's the head coach's job to see, hey, this guy's a good player. It's not the GM's job to see it, or the owner. It's the coach's job to say, hey, this guy's a good player. We should keep him. It starts with the coach.
It does start right there. Yep.
Second of all, how often do teams get blown out in high intensity playoff games when you got guys like supposedly three good, you know, players on your starting line? Like, how often do you get blown up by 30 plus points? Not too often.
Well, I'll say this. So it shouldn't happen. It doesn't happen by 30 or 40 very often. I have noticed, just with the way threes are in the league today, there's just more 20-point NBA playoff games now than there ever I used to remember. So I think part of it is the way the game is being played. But
now,
to your point, Frank, it shouldn't happen in an elimination game at home like that. It just shouldn't.
Not at home, exactly. Yeah. You said your guys to what? The game three, they sat down the whole fourth quarter, right? Yeah. Oh, let's let them sit and rest, you know. Stop the embarrassment, guys. Don't go out there and suck it up and try to fight harder. But so sit it down. The coach stinks, okay? He gets a free pass because he won a championship. All right. Now, another thing, he's getting overlooked big time. I'm sorry. He's getting, I think the morning show did a poll of should he get let go? And it's like 48%. Yeah. It should be a lot higher. This is part of the problem. Like, they're not going to get rid of Morey. I don't think Morey's going anywhere. The only way you're going to get rid of the owner, and I'm going to really go crazy with this, is if you had some kind of public thing on viral or something like a rally at Center City where they wanted to keep Reggie White back in the day that I went to. But the owner's not selling. The GM's probably going to stay here. And, the coach has to go. I mean, and we talked about Embiid yesterday. I mean, that's another problem. I think George should stay. I really would give George another year. I think George is definitely better than Tobias. Well, I don't know what that's saying, although right now it's crazy to look at what he's doing out there in Detroit.
Yeah.
So what do you think about all that?
Well, Frank, I hear you. And I don't love Nurse now as much as I did when he got here. I was a fan when he got here. Frank, good phone call. I liked Nurse in Toronto. And I think overall he's a good basketball coach. You know, you go back to his career before he was the Raptors coach. He won a lot in a lot of little places. He bounced around the world coaching basketball. I think he could coach. Hasn't done a remarkable job here. Hugh, though, we talked about it yesterday. I'm not taking him off the hook for the McCain thing. This is not the easiest team to coach. There's a lot of things that go on around here. And maybe some of it's Nurse's fault for allowing it. I think some of it he has no choice but to allow it. Not the easiest team to coach when you don't know who's going to play, when they're going to play. One of your players suspended for 25 games. Of the two of them, I like Nurse better than Morey.
I don't know what the power dynamic is, Joe. That's the problem. Because it feels like, especially when you look at his body language on the sideline a lot of times, especially in this last game, it was just like he was done. When he dropped his head back, he was done. I don't know how much. It feels like a few times this year that guys have went over his head to make decisions for the team, and somebody else, you know, signed off on certain things. That's the way I'm going to say it. It just feels like, you know, for you not to know what players are playing and who's at shoot around and things of that nature, that's a lot to try to coach around.
Of course it is.
When you got somebody that's not allowing you to cook the meal that you put together. That's kind of what it feels like to me a lot of times.
Yeah, I feel that too. Look, I don't think Nick Nurse is perfect. And if they got rid of him too, I'm not going to put up a stink and say this is the worst firing in NBA history. I mean, I'm not going to do that. But I just think Morey's the bigger problem. I just think the coach in the NBA, unless it is a truly great coach, probably doesn't move the needle that much. It's more player and GM driven, the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, Morey to me is the one that's causing actual harm. Like, maybe Nurse isn't doing a good enough job. I could see someone's point on that. But I just think Morey's put them in a bad spot, and he's supposed to put them in the advantageous spot. And one more thing on McCain quickly, because Frank brought up the McCain thing. You know, Hugh, every coach, GM, probably has a different dynamic. I imagine Howie and Nick have a certain one, right? And Dabrowski and Mattingly now, and Briere and Jonesy and Tockett have their own. And the Flyers have an interesting one with Mitch Mitchkov, right? But like, let's just go to the McCain thing. Let's say Nurse wasn't playing him. He didn't like the way he was playing. You know, Morey doesn't have to trade him, right? Like, Morey could keep McCain and then fire Nurse after the season and say, you didn't get the most out of the roster I gave you. He by trading McCain, he basically signed off on the coach saying, I can't use him.
Yeah, and you drafted him, and he looks like he's a baller down in OKC. Like, he's having fun and going to go to the, you know, he's in the playoffs.
Going to win a championship.
Yeah, going to go to the championship. Good for him. But yeah, there's ways you find spots for young players like that. You know, when we talked about it, having guards, all these guards out here, you figure out a way to try to get them on the court. And it's obvious that by you trading him away, that somebody made the decision to keep the big fella on the court, which I totally understand. But you got to find a way. You got to find somewhere to play talent like that.
You do, and not give it away, give it away in the middle of a season. 215-592-9494.
Not sell high.
Well, they did not sell high. I mean, he doubled down on that. All right, do you expect Daryl Morey to be fired? I want it, and I do expect it. I expect Josh Harris to make a move. The embarrassment of what's going on here with the Knicks fans coming down, the way they went out. If Josh Harris has a pulse, and it's an if he does, but if he has a pulse as an owner, he should make a change and get someone in here to fix this basketball team. We'll see if any news comes in one way or the other. Your calls on that when we get back. And we'll get to some audio from Tony Jones on afternoon show yesterday, what he said about the locker room and what he said about what they went through internally this season and the year they had. That's all coming up. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love.
Their thoughts going on in their mind. So two tough passes by LeBron and AR on the last two.
McCain, three. Hartenstein up there trying to grab it. Back to McCain. Another triple. Book it. Flies off that baseline. Gets it to go. Gotten back to the defense. Oklahoma City trying to close out this series. Pass inside. Cutting is McCain.
And I think
Oklahoma City had outscored the Lakers by 25 points in seven meetings before tonight. McCain, three, got it!
Especially when they're playing fast and secondary, and LeBron is at the lead.
And this guy's not shy at all about shooting the ball.
Yeah, another gut punch from Morey last night. McCain goes off 16 minutes, 13 points, 3 three-pointers made. He was a plus 27 while on the court in those 16 minutes. Oklahoma City sweeps the Lakers. They're on to the Western Conference Finals. Jared McCain is 8 wins away from winning an NBA title. I mean, if I'm Daryl Morey, I got to run and hide and crawl into a hole until these playoffs are over, because that is a joke on him. I think he should be fired, and I expect it to be. 215-592-9494. Before we go back to the phone lines here, your take on Morey and what the Sixers should do here is to try to fix this thing, because it is not, it's not where you want it to be, and it should be better than this 6 years into Morey's tenure. But Tony Jones, Hugh, yesterday, writes for The Athletic. We read some of the quotes from his column yesterday.
Yeah.
He was on the afternoon show talking about where this team is at and some of maybe the turmoil they had that didn't leak out as much during the season. Let's start with the locker room and maybe not enough control in there during the year. Here's Tony Jones yesterday with the afternoon show.
There was some feeling that there was just not enough collective control in the locker room, right? So you take that as, you know, to what it means. You could take that as to, you know, maybe there's a set of rules for one group, there's a set of rules for another, but, you know, there's an overall feeling that there was not enough control in the locker room. So, you know, there was, you know, that morning just happened to be the tipping off point, and, you know, there was a team meeting at the team hotel, and there were coaches involved, and they had to be talking off the ledge collectively. And, you know, it happened, and, you know, the players went, and they went to shoot around, because for a while it looked like there was going to be no shoot around that day because of this. It's just kind of dumb circumstance that, you know, this happened to coincide with Joel, you know, kind of going at it with the medical staff and the front office as well.
So collective control, Hugh, in the locker room, not where it needs to be. Different rules for different players.
It was a lot to unpack there. And what I'm like, it feels like he was trying to give you the insight, but not really tell you everything.
I'm Dr. Hrini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thing that was going on. When he said there was a talking off the ledge. Exactly for what? I guess was the question.
Calming everyone down.
Calming everybody down. I mean, but for what though? I mean, you know, and I'm assuming this was during the playoffs. Series.
Well, no, I think because he was referencing Joel and injury. I think he was referencing the part of the article yesterday we talked about where remember when they were upset that someone missed the
shoot around,
yeah,
and
yeah,
it was
and
Joel
was,
and it leaked
that,
out.
Yeah, that was the day Joel put the tweet out that he wasn't playing. We found out that he didn't go to the shoot around, and they decided he wasn't going to play.
Yeah. Okay. So that's when he said they were talking off the ledge.
Seemed to me it's like the other guys were like, well, why isn't he showing up? That's my guess to what
okay,
that might
so
have been.
We recklessly get speculating.
Yeah,
that's cool. I'm okay with that. But it was just, it's just weird to hear it framed like that. And I mean, it's basically what we thought.
Yeah.
It's basically what it felt like. It just felt disjointed. And again, whose fault is that? That to me is a management thing. That's something where, you know, everybody talk about what Nick Nurse is doing and all this other stuff. It's clear that he's at this point, it feels like he's just a figurehead, because he's not the one that's really calling the shots when it comes to this team. And it feels like that's probably where some of his frustration came from. The fact that, you know, he's trying to coach one way, but you have other people that maybe it's Daryl Morey, maybe it's higher up than that, that have their idea what this team should look like, and his is different from that.
Well, so look, you could put some blame on Nurse for that, not running his locker room the way he needs to. You could, and I'm not saying you shouldn't put any on him. But I remember stories of when Morey was with James Harden in Houston, that he would let Harden do whatever the hell he want, take his own playing places.
Yeah, he would go party.
Yeah, right. So like, and I'm not saying Joel does that kind of stuff, but to me, there's a similar thread here that Daryl Morey lets the star player on his team do whatever the hell he wants, and that's not conducive to winning basketball. It's not conducive to championship basketball, and I think Morey is the biggest blame for that. All right, let's also hear Tony Jones talking about what they went through internally, and in a way, surprised they even got to where they got to.
When you talk to the players last night, you know, there were little hints thrown around. Yeah, this group definitely went through a lot, or we definitely had a lot of changes. This group went through a lot internally. This group, you know, if you knew some of the stuff that they went through internally, I honestly thought it was amazing they won 45 games.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's definitely, you know, this definitely wasn't a smooth year, but I also think that it definitely shows how much this group liked each other. This group legitimately like each other. And this group legitimately played for each other. And that's one of the reasons why the season never did go off the rails.
I think my reaction to that is more Ike's noise that he made than anything else.
Yeah, that was crazy.
That was so good.
That's a testament to how much guys are willing to be malleable in a situation like this.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear Maxie and guys like that, Oubre, and they talk about how they want to run a certain way, but they're willing to you know, bend the knee, if you will, to Joel Embiid. Because that's what we're kind of recklessly speculating. That Joel Embiid is the outlier here, that he's the one that was somewhat the malcontent. It's unfortunate that's the case when you talk about a player of that caliber. That if these allegations are true, that's the type of individual that he is.
Yeah, you're right. I guess, look, the Embiid thing's part of it. The players kind of running things, and it's not working out in a locker room sense. Running. When I look back at this thing, like if you told me the day Morey got here, 6 years in, they wouldn't have a tremendous amount of draft assets. They wouldn't have cap room. They would be locked into Joel Embiid on a horrific contract that nobody in the league wants. They'd be locked into Paul George on a horrific contract that nobody wants. They'd have two legitimate assets moving forward, and those two are good assets, Maxey and Edgecombe. But that's it. 6 years in, no Eastern Conference Finals, no depth, no draft picks, bad contracts. Why is he here? Like, if I'm Josh Harris, I'd say, Darryl, you explain to me why you should stay. And I don't know how he could do it. I mean, there's teams around the league that were bottom feeders that are now good teams.
And not only that, Joe, it's when you look at this team right now, it has no clear direction.
I agree with you.
It has no clear direction. You look at it, okay, we have Joel Embiid. We have a contract that you can't do anything with right now. He has to be a part of the move forward. How are you going to fix that? Like I said the other day, you got to find a big dude that can shoot and play defense. That's going to spell Joel Embiid. I think that's the easiest thing to do and try to move forward there. Hopefully VJ takes another step and Maxey as well. And just try to get somebody in here that's more reliable and can put Joel Embiid in a spot where you don't have to rely on him as much when you get to points like this.
Yeah, that's a good point. If I'm Harris, I sit Morey down, like, what's your plan to go from where we are to actually winning a championship? I'd love to hear it because I don't really think he has one. And if he says, well, VJ will become that player. All right, I mean, we hope, cross our fingers, but that's probably years away. He's 20,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, the idea that he's going to become their best player one day could happen. It could also happen 5 years from now. That's not really a plan, Darryl. Like, we got to figure this out quicker than that. I'm ready to move off of Darryl Morey. Let's go to Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Chris.
Happy Taco Tuesday, man.
Taco Tuesday.
Well, Hugh's been talking up the tacos.
6-inch soft quesadillas.
There it is.
Soft tacos, mm-hmm. yeah. Wawa.
All right.
Famous
Hugh.
Club.
Hugh.
Yes.
He, do me a favor, okay? Like, what you're doing with your soft 6 inches, and can you just do that privacy your own home, please?
You took it about somewhere.
It's a family show here. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. Guys, forgive me, because I may crash out like Joel did yesterday. Hey, welcome, Joe, by the way. I was glad Joel filled in. For
yeah, you. I haven't. Yeah, he hasn't been here in a while. He made an appearance.
He did. We needed him. So, listen, guys. Dude. You follow me with this.
I'm with you.
Here's what happened. Morey got cheating by his wife. And instead of facing the music for his action, dude, buddy dips out of town. He's like, yo, I got to go on a business trip, and just dipped out of town on like a female dog. Like, that's what happened here. Okay. Josh Harris, I got to use my voice and on this radio station, the number one show in all of America, the WIP midday show with Joe and you. Josh Harris, listen up, Joshy boy. Got your ears on? I know you're preoccupied, okay? I know you got your little boy toy Washington Commodore thing. That's all cute, okay? But I need you to lock in here, all right?
Lock in.
You can build some street rep here with the Philadelphia fan base by canning the heavy breather, Daryl Morey, okay? Like a wise drop once said, you know, get the hell out of here, okay? Send that bitch to HR, all right? Buddy flushed millions of dollars down the toilet by re-signing Broken Body Embiid, and then, you know, he went splashing around in the club by bringing in Paul George, okay? Listen, now I'm cranked up, and this is, I'm done with this. I'm done with the stupidity. We're taking back our city. That's what we're doing as a fan base. We are taking our city back. We're taking our team back, this franchise back. We are holding you accountable, Joshy. Let them hang, okay? Go over in a press conference and slap Daryl across the lips and can his ass. Because guess what, fella? If you don't, we're coming for you. Because there's a long list. Here's what I want. Get rid of Embiid. Get rid of George. Fire Morey. And then at the end of the day, fire your damn self. Because I just can't take this stupidity anymore. Y'all suck.
Well, they are stuck.
It's a mic drop right
there. He dropped the mic. They're completely stuck. Good phone call, Chris. We appreciate it. I mean, he's not going to fire himself. He owns the team. But we could fire everybody else. I mean, we could do that. Kyle said something earlier that they're probably going to pat themselves on the back. Are they really going to roll Morey out there at the end of the week for a press conference where he's huffing and puffing?
Yes.
And we're talking
about... Well, hold on. I think he's on Ozempic.
Oh, okay. I forgot. Well, I hope he's healthy. I mean, I always hope he's healthy.
He on Ozempic. How you get Ozempic?
How does anyone get Ozempic?
Have you looked around? Everyone's on it, dude.
This isn't like on the black market.
No, they just go to the store.
They advertise for it.
I think there's some at the grocery store that I'm seeing out there. Anyway. You can find it, Hugh, if you need it.
How dare he get on the Ozempic?
Okay. If you really want Ozempic, we can get you some.
I don't want Hugh on Ozempic.
You don't want me on Ozempic? Nah. Ozempic. I want to be on the Daryl. Does he still breathe heavy?
I don't know. We haven't heard from him.
I suppose we'll find out.
We'll find out Friday.
Are they going to roll him out there, Ozempic or not, and just start like talking about how great of a season they had?
Yes.
Is it going to be like Spike yesterday saying the season was a success?
Spike did that yesterday.
Oh, jeez.
He got the worm?
Got the worm. Some are saying. Trying to tell me the season is a success. I mean, holy hell.
No, but he was speaking that last week after they beat the Celtics, though. He was kind of on that. So, I mean, it tracks.
Well, when you lower the bar to mediocrity, then, yeah, sure. I mean, winning a first-round series is wonderful. But that's, after all these years, that can't be that. If they do that, I mean, at some point, and I know Josh Harris is dull in his head. Like, he just doesn't have much up there. But at some point, he has to read the room. This is two out of the last 3 years that other fan bases have come down here, or the same fan base, and taken over his building.
He said the other fan. No, it's been the same.
It's the same one. They overtook this place twice. And the temperature on the Sixers overall is as down as I could ever remember. I mean, like right now, if you had to rank your excitement for the four teams at Philadelphia, does anyone have the Sixers anywhere but last? No.
Yeah, I
mean, I
think that's a safe bet.
Yeah. Well, if I'm the owner of the team, I have to look around like, all right, how do I fix that? Because that's a problem. Apathy and frustration are not what you want from your fans. And it feels like we're moving towards that. And if they, like, I agree with you guys the last couple of days where you say there's probably not much they could do with the roster in the short term, right? George and Embiid are probably going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if you bring everything back, what do you expect your fans to feel next season? Like, the Flyers, for example, are going to have people excited for the start of next season. They're going to have people excited for the summer.
Yes.
Trade rumors, whoever, Kachuk or Matthews,
all that, right? All that stuff.
The Phillies always have everyone's attention, and they already made a manager shift to try to save this season, and they have a lot of stars that are trying to finish the job. Okay, we know their story. The Eagles are always number one anyway, and they have a team they're trying to get back to that level. They just won a Super Bowl 2 years ago. If you're the Sixers and you're Harris and you do nothing and let Morey go out there Friday and do a dumb press conference, I already know what's going to happen. Friday, they're going to roll him out Friday. He's going to have a long press conference, and 30 minutes in, I'm going to say no more. I'm going to have to jump out of the press conference because we're all going to be ready to scream. That's what this is going to be. I just think it's a bad, bad look if the Sixers let him stay. Aaron in Long Island. A different Aaron. I bet this one's better than the other one. What's up, Aaron?
Aaron.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good morning, doing, Aaron. Man? What's up?
Love your show. Listen to it daily.
Oh, thank you, Aaron.
Thank you for listening.
You loved you as a player.
Well, thank you. Loved thank you. You very much. Thank
anyway.
Not so much now.
And Hugh, you are hilarious on a daily basis. I got to tell you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening.
You guys are the funniest duo, I got to tell you.
Oh, thank you. Aaron, what are you feeling on the Sixers?
I just want to tell you, I've been a fan since the glory days, since 1980. My uncle used to take me when I was 7 years old. All right, so I've seen the glory days of the 76ers, but lately, obviously, for years now, you're seeing absolute garbage. So my issue is with this owner. you guys know all about this already. When you own opposing teams in Philadelphia, do you really have the 76ers' best interest in mind? We all know that he doesn't. He's a businessman. I get it. No problem. But what I can say is the following to every Sixer fan out there, everyone around the country, around the world. Please, please do not go to any of these games. Do not go. This guy, this owner, does not care. He is a businessman. Ladies and gentlemen, please do not go to any of these games. And you watch how he's going to feel it in his pocket, and then he's going to listen. Now, my request is for WIP. Can you guys actually make that statement out there? Fans, do not go. I mean, I don't know if, Joe, you would get in trouble.
No, we can. No, Jared, we could. I mean, we're not going to get in trouble for telling people not to go to the Sixers games. Now, people are going to
do what they want,
but it we will not get in trouble, Aaron. Yeah. We could say that.
You have Jeffrey Lurie that is a passionate owner, and you're seeing what's out. You're seeing what he's done. You have two Super Bowls in the last few years. John Middleton, the owner, he's spending the money. He cares. He wants to win a World Series. This owner of the 76ers is an absolute joke. Daryl Morey needs to go. You guys are saying the same thing. I'm in complete agreement. I still think Nick Nurse is a great coach. He has a ring. I think he's just working under whatever conditions he has, unfortunately. But this is obviously all on Daryl Morey, and especially the owner. Fans, we have to get together and really just, you know, stand up here, because stand up to what is going wrong. This owner is the issue. When was the last time, Joe, when was the last time you saw this guy make a post, care about the 76ers, be in the locker room with those players? No, you don't. But you see him with the Washington Commanders.
Yep.
You see him make other comments. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the problem, is this owner, Josh Harris, and you know it. You have not made one comment since Sunday, not one. You do not care. We know that. Don't think we're stupid. We are passionate fans. We deserve much better.
Aaron, it's a great phone call, man. You're right. And it does start with the owner. Look, and Morey found a sucker. I mean, where can you work for 6 years, not make the place better, and stay? Up where an owner doesn't care.
He said,
he found a sucker. This guy will pay me $12 million a year. I don't make his team better, and he doesn't fire me. It's like, I'll work
here.
That's
a hell of a job.
It's a great job. You can make the place worse than when you got here. And as far as Harris, this has been a problem with him since the moment he became the Sixers owner, because there's a
conflict of interest, it feels like.
Conflict of interest, and there is a sense, and I think it's a fair sense, that he doesn't really care, right? He is a businessman. I don't blame him for – he's a great businessman, and he's found a way to own NHL, soccer, NFL, baseball.
They got a lot of bread.
But when you do that, and you kind of are absentee, you make people think that you don't really care. Meanwhile, John Middleton owns the Phillies, right? It doesn't mean he's perfect. He makes a lot of mistakes, but he owns the Phillies, right? He cares about the Phillies. Jeffrey Lurie cares about the Eagles. He owns the Eagles, and that's his favorite thing. And he wants to win championships. Josh Harris, I mean, like, it seems like, you know, take it or leave it, whatever, as long as we're turning a profit, we're good. And when you let people stay that should get fired, it makes it feel like you don't care. I mean, that's a bad look.
Yeah, especially if Morey is still here
after
this, because the way that this year was handled in particular, it just feels like it's time for a reset. It feels like it's a time for reset with everything when it comes to the squad.
Well, and I don't think it's a coincidence that there's been a lot of turmoil and weird stuff and nonsense.
Just weird with the training staff, with the coaching staff, with the leaks that are coming out of the building.
You know what this made me think about, Kyle? I kind of wish Hugh was here for the Colangelo Burner Gate. That would have been
Hugh's wheelhouse.
Right? His wife was tweeting reckless, right?
Barbara Bottini was the name. Yeah,
Barbara Bottini.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
I mean,
she was a reckless tweeter.
Oh, dude! Well, Hugh on Burnergate would have been incredible.
You would have found the tweets. You would have been like one of the people like sifting through. Yeah.
That would have been
doom scrolling, looking at the tweets.
You might have been in the Hall of Fame.
The doom
just
scrolling
after that whole saga.
She was a lot. Was she a lot? She was a lot.
Well, there was a lot of wondering if it was really her or was him using a burner saying it was
his wife.
But it might have been her, and it was pillow, you know, kind of he said something to her and she tweeted it out.
She was talking about a pillow talk.
But could
about
you
to say pillow talk.
Could you imagine, like, again, just to put that story in perspective, again, that was under Josh Harris' ownership. Hugh, could you imagine if there was a burner of Howie ripping Jalen Hurts. That's literally the same. We had Colangelo ripping Joel Embiid on a burner account. This all under Josh Harris's time as the owner. I mean,
that's wild.
It was
what
wild.
They were saying bad, but they're talking bad about Joel Embiid.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Oh, it was unbelievable. It was it and again, that was under Josh Harris. It was it's a Mount Rushmore of like all-time stories around here. Like, wait, what that happened? And when people started discovering, then there were so many of like it wasn't like one or
wait
two.
Wait, what did she do? What did she do to kind of walk it back a little bit? Did she deny it? Did she deny the allegations?
I don't think she ever spoke. I think he just kind of they tried to put the fire out.
Oh, okay.
But yeah,
that sounds like a lot.
Oh, it was bananas. Let's grab Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
Jeff.
I agree with Chris and the previous caller. So Josh Harris owns at least two other sports teams in two different cities and two different leagues. He doesn't care because either way he wins. He doesn't care about the Knicks fans coming down because that's more money in his pocket. Somebody's buying the seats. Somebody's buying all the, you know, concessions and all that stuff. If the team, if the value of the team drops because nobody shows up, he'll sell the team and he'll still make money because he can write off the loss of, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like it doesn't, he's not a, he only cares about the bottom line. He's not looking at what Daryl Morey's doing. He's not looking at what Nick Nurse is doing. He's looking at the bottom line. Is it red or is it black? And the fact that he let Nick Nurse go, go out to that combine or whatever the day after.
Morey.
I mean, Daryl Morey, yeah. I mean, dude, without saying anything, we haven't heard a peep from that guy, either one of them, to be honest with you. And the way they went out, you would think there would be somebody talking besides the head coach.
Oh, without
somebody
question.
I'm happy about.
And you know what? It's to me, the part about the combine that is just, it's off-putting to me is like, they could easily have brought a Sixers banner and give him a chair, and he could do a press conference in Chicago. Like,
he could have spoke to the people.
Yeah, like, okay, he wants to scout the players. Okay, I appreciate him trying to do his job, but like, there's a time where there's nobody working out that he could. Like, the Eagles do a press conference at the Combine. Like, if he wanted to speak today, he could speak. He doesn't want to.
And he brought the GM in telling him he's got a couple of players with contracts that they can't get out of. And then the GM goes and doubles down and pays Embiid even more for three more years and brings Paul George in. Like, where is that good? There's no good in any of that.
Jeff, there's not. Jeff, good phone call. I mean, the fact that the Embiid contract starts – like when
right now,
it's the equivalent to me of Ryan Howard's extension starting when he got hurt, right? Because Ryan Howard's extension kicked in like right after he tore his Achilles, and it was just like, you know, it was the worst scenario you could possibly imagine because you watched him fall down, and you realize they had 5 years they were about to pay him, and he just was never the same player again. And watching Embiid, he's not hurt the way Howard was. It's not an Achilles,
yeah, but he had a knee. And he was playing sparingly when he was in the league.
And he can't move, right? Yeah. Like you watch the end of the playoffs, like, oh my gosh, like who would pay this guy 3 years, 190 right now? Well, this GM, who should be out of here, gave him that contract. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on the Morey thing. Will he be fired? Should he be fired? Your take on it. Astle's going to join us at noon. Some players now speaking, including Michkov. We'll talk to her about the end of the Flyer season, what happens this summer. Also, we're going to react to something Jeremy Fowler said about how Jalen Hurts is taking to the new Eagles offense and Sean Mannion. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Listen up, everybody. Wawa has tacos. These cheesy, beefy tacos feature warm tortillas filled with Wawa savory seasoned beef and fresh toppings. The new tacos deliver a craveable food option in a handheld protein, distribution center or whatever it is. I'm trying to be fancy with these words that I'm using today, Joe, so that's what I'm doing. Get your tacos in your choice of seasoned beef or chicken. You can get steak, you can get black beans, you can get shredded cheddar cheese, and up to two spreads and one fresh topping. With the spreads, you can get salsa roja, you can get buffalo or chipotle sauce. And for the fresh toppings, you can get shredded lettuce, you can get some fresh salsa or some fire-roasted corn, all packed in a 6-inch soft flour tortilla. When you're on the go for people. Wawa seasoned beef offering introduces a new way for you to enjoy bold flavor on the go, anchored by tacos as the hero, with seasoned beef available across multiple platforms. You can get seasoned beef in savory, juicy, saucy, not overly spicy, bold seasoned beef. It's available in all quesadillas, tacos, burritos, and bowls. Whatever your pleasure is for that day, you can get it. The lineup allows you to mix and match and enjoy multiple items, making it easy to build a meal that fits your appetite. So check out the Wawa new season beef tacos today at your local Wawa.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.